2 Kings chapter 7 today. And we begin our study in verse 1. Lord, we pray that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1 of 2 Kings chapter 7. Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seah of flour will sell for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." In other words, God is saying, tomorrow you're looking at a bushel of flour for about 80 cents. That's what God says. Now, right about now, they are selling a donkey's head for 80 golden coins because the famine is so severe. And there's nothing to eat. But tomorrow is going to be all different, says God. A complete turnaround. Verse 2, the officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, "Look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens, could this happen?" "You will see it with your own eyes," answered Elisha, "but you will not eat any of it." This officer could not figure out how God could supply such a great amount of food in such a short time. And so he mocked the word of God. Well, it's okay to admit that you cannot figure out God. I mean, who can? It is not okay to say, well, since I cannot figure out how God could do something, that means he cannot do it. That's a real problem. And that is what this officer said. Consequently, he will not enjoy what God promised. He'll see the food, but he won't eat any. Verse 3. Now there were 4 men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, "Why stay here until we die? If we say, 'We'll go into the city,' the famine is there, and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So, let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die." You know, lepers, because their disease was so contagious, were forced to live outside the city. And actually, they just lived on whatever handouts were given them. Oftentimes, it was the garbage that was thrown outside the city into the dump. So they were forced to live on leftovers at best and garbage sometimes. And, of course, there were no handouts at this time, because everybody was starving, including them. And they thought, well, if we stay here, we're going to die for sure. If we go to the Syrian army, they'll probably kill us. So what's the difference? Maybe they'll give us some food. They were willing to take a chance. Really, it wasn't much of a gamble. They had nothing to lose. 5. At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, not a man was there. And so when they got to the Syrian camp, it was deserted. Not a soldier anywhere. They all must have left the previous night. And then look at verse 6. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and the Egyptian kings to attack us." No wonder they took off. They had Israel beat for sure. But God caused them to hear an army that wasn't there, so they ran away scared. It's important to remember that God is Lord of our minds, meaning He is able to manipulate our thoughts and cause us to do things which can make us successful or can make us failures. Very important to stay on God's side, I would say. Verse 7. So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. They were in such a panic that they couldn't even think straight. Why else would they run off on foot and leave their horses and their chariots behind, especially when they could have gotten away faster if they had used their horses? Verse 8. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents. They ate and drank and carried away silver, gold, and clothes, and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. These lepers are used to eating the town's leftovers, so they are really living it up. They are taking whatever they want and they're enjoying as much as they possibly can. Verse 9. Then they said to each other, "We're not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace." And it's not that the leopards wanted to share with the starving people of Samaria. That's pretty clear. It's just that they were afraid that something bad would happen to them if they did not share. God has built into man. He has built into man a moral conscience. And God has built man to know that if they would not want something done to them, then it must be a wrong thing to do, and they should not do it to others. Verse 10. So they went and called out to the city gatekeepers and told them, "We went into the Aramean camp, and not a man was there, not a sound of anyone, only tethered horses and donkeys, and the tents left just as they were." You know, people really do strange things when they are afraid, don't they? Strange things, like try to get away fast on foot instead of using their horses to get away even faster. People do strange things when they're afraid. That's why the best thing to do, the first thing we should always do when we are afraid, is pray. Even if it's a short prayer, even if you don't know what to say, you don't know what, just pray. Verse 11. The gatekeeper shouted the news, and it was reported within the palace. The king got up in the night and said to his officers, "I will tell you what the Arameans have done to us. They know we are starving, so they have left the camp to hide in the countryside, thinking they will surely come out, and then we will take them alive and get into the city." Well, that's pretty good figuring by the king of Samaria. Pretty good figuring. It sort of makes sense because the king knows there's no rational reason for the Syrian armies to walk away from a big victory. Why would they do that? So he figures it's a trap. But the king is wrong. If he had believed the word of God that he received the previous day, then he would have said, "I didn't know how God could save us, and I didn't know how God could provide all that food for us, but that's what he did." See, if the king would have believed the word of God, that's what he would be saying right now. He'd be saying, "The Syrian army is gone. God did save us." Verse 13. One of his officers answered, "Have some men take 5 of the horses that are left in the city. Their plight will be like that of all the Israelites left here. Yes, they will only be like all the Israelites who are doomed. So let us send them to find out what happened." So they selected 2 chariots with their horses, and the king sent them after the Aramean army. He commanded the drivers, "Go and find out what has happened." The city had nothing to lose anymore. Without food, they would all be dead soon. If it's a trap and the Syrian army are in ambush, the scouts die. But if they do not go out and check the Syrian camp at all, well, then everybody dies anyway of starvation. So again, what do you have to lose? 15. They followed them as far as the Jordan, And they found the whole road strewn with clothing and equipment the Arameans had thrown away in their headlong flight. And so the messengers returned and reported to the king. Those Syrian soldiers left so fast that they were throwing aside their clothes and their weapons and anything else that might slow them down. The Israelite scouts found all sorts of things scattered along the roadside. Verse 16. Then the people went out and plundered the camp of the Arameans. So a seah of flour sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley sold for a shekel, as the Lord had said. And that's how the word of God came to pass. No one could have guessed that God would cause the Syrian army to panic and leave all their food for the Israelites to eat. But that is what he did. We do not have to know how God will fulfill his word. It is enough just to believe that he will do it. 17. Now the king had put the officer on whose arm he leaned in charge of the gate. And the people trampled him in the gateway, and he died, just as the man of God had foretold, when the king came down to his house. Remember that arrogant officer who laughed at Elijah and mocked the word of God, not believing that God could provide or would provide an abundance of food in such a short period of time? Remember that officer? After he had mocked God in the word of God, remember, God told him, you're going to see my word come to pass, but you're not going to eat any of the food. And he didn't. He died right here. 18. It happened as the man of God had said to the king. About this time tomorrow, a seah of flour will sell for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. The officer had said to the man of God, look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens, could this happen? The man of God had replied, you will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat any of it. And so God repeats how he gave his word, and how it was mocked, and how it came to pass. And it reminds us that God's word is reliable, and that those who scoff at it shall suffer for their unbelief. 20. And that is exactly what happened to him. For the people trampled him in the gateway and he died. And it is a dangerous thing to mock the word of God. It is mocking God. And God says that he will not be mocked. And these examples were written for our warning, that we may learn not to make the same mistake that this king's officer made. Next time, chapter 8. Until then. So long, everyone.